today.
That is the place to go at 29 minutes past 9, a French Open update. Thanks to Jets 24/7 Fitness, no lock-in contracts with 48 gyms in Victoria, 250 gyms worldwide. Head to jets.com.au. One man that's been going to Jets on a regular basis, he's looking fantastic at the moment, is Brett Phillips, our SEN tennis commentator. Good morning, BP.
BP.
A bit like your weather update, Shebex.
Oh, see, they're all recovering, aren't Shebex. They?
What is wrong with 5 degrees? It can be pleasant at 5.
No. Listen to Brett, mate. Tell him, mate.
Well, while it might be cold here, BP, the tennis is hotting up over there in Roland Garros, and Sam Stosur, the only Aussie left, looking to get herself into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, absolutely, Shebex. Look, the draw is certainly open for Sam to do some damage. There's no doubt about that. She's going to play second up tonight, so pretty reasonable time to watch this match on Fox Sports. She's got Yelena Ostapenko. Now, this is a young Latvian girl. She's only 19. She's got a bit of pretty fiery yet on court. She's got a really solid game. She's had a pretty good year, and she's been a three-time finalist on the WTA Tour. So she's certainly coming as one of the next generation players, but Stosur is playing some really solid tennis, hasn't dropped a set in this tournament. If she wins here, I mean, it certainly gets harder. She'd play the winner of Wozniacki and Kuznetsova. That would be a tough matchup, but gee, Sam, you know, with what's left in the draw on the women's side, is as good a chance as anyone to maybe win a French Open.
How exciting would that be after the sort of punishment and grief and from critics that she's had over the last year or two? This would be some sort of
and
show.
And deserved.
I sometimes think we forget very much how much pressure is on these tennis players who travel the world, and they live out of a suitcase. Brett will tell you this, and they have nobody basically sitting on their shoulder, giving them the sort of support and mentoring that all of the other top ones have. And I think she's doing a tremendous job. I think we're a little bit too harsh on her, especially at home. We put enormous pressure on her.
Yeah, look. Well, unfortunately, that's probably where we judge you, George, and I'm as guilty as anyone. And I sometimes pull myself back because I think we have to look at the big picture of it. Unfortunately, she's never played well in Australia, so she gets the instant cross next to her name that she can't perform. But, you know, 450-odd weeks as our number one female player, 9 WTA titles, she's won a major. Gee, if she could win a French Open, I mean, you know, not many players can say they've won 2 Grand Slam titles. So I think in the end, she'll probably walk away with a pretty decent career. But every time we see Sam play, and when she loses, we probably think in the back of her mind, the way she loses, we just can't sort of cop that because she's built physically as imposing as anyone on the women's tour. She's got a big game, and unfortunately, there's probably been a few technical flaws at times that prevents her from being at the absolute pointy end. But, you know, it's a brutal sport. It's competitive. There's a lot of very good players on the WTA tour. Look at the amount of women's seeds that continually fall at majors, and, you know, she's been roundabout in the mix all the time.
Brett, I think, is it her game? She needs a bit more time to play the shot or manufacture the shot that she needs. And on the faster surfaces, she struggles. And maybe on the French, on the clay, it basically suits her game, so to speak, a bit more than the other surfaces and the other tournaments.
Absolutely spot on, George. I mean, if there's the biggest weakness for mine in the Sam Stosur game is her movement, her side-to-side movement. So on the grass where the ball is skidding on, I mean, the hard courts, you know, look, have certainly been kind to her. She's won a US Open on that hard court surface. But the clay, the ball certainly sits up and she wants time to get onto that forehand. Her backhand actually has been, you know, as prolific in this tournament, particularly that shot up the line. She can get a big kick serve going, which, you know, often has players in all sorts of trouble outside the tram lines. She's always, you know, think back to her early days. She had great success playing doubles tennis, Sam Stosur, winning titles. And so she's competent coming into the net as well. So, look, no doubt clay is her best surface. And traditionally, the results are there to see. She performs her best at this time of the year.
Give us a recap of week one and don't leave out the ugly parts.
Well, look, it's a really interesting stage, Shebex. I mean, Andy Murray, look, has certainly struggled this year as the world number one.
He was
so
good
many
last night,
points
though.
In the bank. He was outstanding. Yeah, 7-6, 7-5, and then 6-love in the third against Del Potro, who, look, has made a great comeback to tennis and is a mighty competitor, Juan Martin. But Andy got into a nice groove last night, and you can't say that's been the case this year. I mean, Stan Wawrinka hasn't dropped a set in this tournament. He always, I suppose, at the top five is the one that just sort of sneaks under the guard. Stan looking for a second French Open. You've got to say Nadal, He's certainly in the driver's seat. Djokovic, with the Agassi factor, has been solid enough to get through the first week. And on the women's side, look, it's you know, throw the door open. If Sam can't win it, I mean, the match that I'm looking forward to tonight is Garbiñe Muguruza. So she's the French Open reigning champion, hasn't won a title on the tour since prevailing at Roland Garros 12 months ago, taking on Kristina Medenovic, who's the French player who's risen to number 13 in the world in singles. Every one of her matches has been filled with drama in this French Open. Going down to the wire, she's got the crowd behind her. She won her last match against Rogers, 8-6 in the third. That match could go a long way to deciding who maybe wins the French if Sam can't get up. But we've seen plenty of upsets from an Australian perspective. Yeah, look, obviously always the focus on, you know, Nick Kyrgios. Look, he wasn't at his best. He certainly isn't at his best physically, and that's still a work in progress. Until he gets that body in total match condition, he won't be able to compete in a sustainable manner on the tour all year round.
And mentally, it would seem also be.
Look, there's plenty of players. Yeah, look, that's the criticism, and I've been critical. But, I mean, you know, I watch so many matches at the French, I can tell you we're probably up to nearly 100 rackets being smashed this week and, you know, all sorts of things going on. I mean, the French players have got themselves into trouble over there. We think Nick Kyrgios is bad at times, but we've got a couple of young French players that didn't endear themselves too well and have copped some massive fines. In fact, the French Open this week have handed out a truckload of fines to players for some of their on-court behaviour. And as my co-host on the first serve, Paul Aitken will tell you, he often refers to them as man babies, and that they're in this very surreal world, sometimes haven't quite developed as people, maybe developed as tennis players, not quite as people. So we're going to see some things that maybe leave us a little bit perplexed at times.
What about that special person, Del Potro, and his antics or his support of his of his opponent, who got injured?
Yep.
And was in tears, and Del Potro crossed the net, walked over, put his arms around him,
and
said, mate, yeah, big hug. Brought him back. Actually, he packed his own kit for him. It's fantastic. And I just thought that was mighty. I mean, really, these guys are competitive. Every match means a lot to them. And here he was. He saw how distressed his opponent was, and he couldn't do any much more than carry him out. Mm. No, he's fantastic.
George, yeah, beautifully said. I mean, look, Juan Martin Del Potro, one of the most popular players on the tour. Everyone has been crying for him to come back. He's had that debilitating wrist injury. Won a US Open when he knocked over Federer a number of years ago now. He was taking on Nicolas Almagro, the Spaniard, who unfortunately has had so many injuries in the last couple of years. So he was pretty distraught because you want to perform at the majors, and Del Potro is just a ripper. I mean, the Argentinians love him, but the world loves Juan Martin. When he won that Davis Cup for Argentina, in a year filled with so many great sports stories, it probably got lost a little bit, but it was a significant moment. And we hope that he can obviously try and get back to the top echelon of men's tennis.
Look forward to catching you next Sunday morning, BP, when we start talking about the women's and men's finals.
Indeed, guys. First serve tonight from 10 o'clock, so we'll go live to Paris. Leo Schlink, chief tennis writer for the Herald Sun, will be on the ground over there. And Justin Gimelstob, who does some great work for the Tennis Channel, has got plenty of opinions, the American commentator. He'll join us tonight after Finney's final siren, Shebex.
Brett Phillips, our SEN tennis commentator, a French Open update with him, thanks to Jets 24/7 Fitness. No locking contracts with 48 gyms in Victoria and 250 gyms worldwide. Head to jets.com.au.